the Family Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
And welcome to Matrix Warrior. I'm your host, Jay Parker. It's Saturday, the 6th of April, 2024. And today's show, we're going to have Sean Stone joining us in the second hour, and that'll be a good conversation, see what Sean is up to recently, and talk about censorship and conspiracies and all that wonderful stuff that we know and love. I just want to say that, you know, it's interesting when you think of Sean Stone and, you know, movies like The Best Kept Secret. He didn't have to. Nobody twisted his arm. Nobody asked him to do BuzzFeed. You know what I mean? He did it because he's a human being. He saw there was a problem, and he wanted to alert people to it. He took self-responsibility as a member of the human race to do his part to wake humanity up and try to make this a better world. And if each and every one of us did our part, we wouldn't be in this situation today. I mean, he could have just said, hey, not my problem. Hung out with his Hollywood people. made his Hollywood life and said, not my problem. You know, I'm geared to, entertain people. I don't find talking about ritual satanic abuse entertainment. I don't find discussing the New World Order entertaining. But he made a conscious decision to do the right thing. And that's all any of us have to do. We have to make a conscious decision to get in the arena, as Theodore Roosevelt said. Be a man or a woman in the arena. Not somebody on the sidelines just watching, but actually being engaged in your society. And let me tell you, when you make a choice to do the right thing, the universe beats a path to your door. It doesn't mean it's always easy. But, what's our option, folks, when you really consider it? I mean, Best Kept Secret is a great, great film. And he's got a book, New World Order. And people need to wake up to the fact that, as Warren Buffett said, we're at war with the middle class and we're winning. And he was laughing. And the reporter was like, duh, huh? What you mean by that? That's how far down the rabbit hole we are. That they can openly, like Bill Gates talking about reducing the worldwide population by 10 or 15%. Well, how are you going to do that when there's 8 billion people, Bill? Isn't that genocide? Yeah, it is. But we all have to be true to ourselves and reject the fear brainwashing and stand up as free, sovereign human beings and do the right thing. And Sean Stone's a great example in the world of standing up and doing the right thing. And at no doubt, at great cost to his life personally. But at least one thing I can say about getting into the arena and standing up and rejecting the fear programming and laying your cards on the table and saying, I'm for freedom, is you can actually look at yourself in the mirror and not spit. And I'm doing a series of flash drives. And there'll be a 16 gigabyte drive dealing with health issues. And chemtrail is a health issue. I mean, you're breathing in aluminum, barium, and strontium, desiccated cancer viruses. God knows what, you know. I'm sure they're playing with the formula all the time because, hey, we're nothing but lab rats in Big Daddy's laboratory. So, you know, let's have some fun with the lab rats. I mean, if the mRNA jab didn't show you that definitively, I really don't know what to say. Because if you look in the analysis of the different batches, and there were many, many different formulas in the mRNA shot. A giant, giant experiment. You see what they could do with their nanotechnology, what they could do with the spike protein, how they could destroy the immune system. I mean, just they were running all kinds of different formulas to get different scientific data and move their agenda of total extermination of the vast majority of human beings, and then whatever's left over is going to be a totally controllable zombie. So, yeah, we've gotten to the point where, you know, Israel was told by the food aid workers where their three trucks were going to start their journey down the road, where they were ending the journey, what time they were going to be traveling on the road. And one missile after another, in three separate instances, killed all those aid workers and destroyed all that food and relief effort. It wasn't a one-off, oops. It was a deliberate show of arrogance and chutzpah and hubris, like, hey, we can kill aid workers in an obvious premeditated attack, and the world cannot do anything about it. And has the world done anything about it? Not really. I mean, they passed a ceasefire declaration at the UN, but because of certain wording, it's up in the air whether it's binding or not. Who are you kidding? That these people at the UN didn't know that because of the wording of the resolution, whether it was going to be binding or not? Just ridiculous. I mean, it's as ridiculous as what happened in the 2020 presidential election. To get standing to complain about the unconstitutional changes in state election procedure in all those six swing states, especially like Pennsylvania, you needed to file a complaint in court, a lawsuit in court, pointing out the illegal changes to the election procedure. But Rudy Giuliani and the Republicans and the hundreds of billions of dollars in the entire election machine in America, and it is a $1 billion industry. Not one of the conservative lawyers knew that in order to get standing, they needed to file the lawsuit before the election to complain about the changes, illegal changes in the election procedure. Sure, they knew. But because we live in a world of total corruption and theater, you know, they filed the lawsuits after the election. The old sour grapes. What did the courts do? Well, they had an out. They said, well, if you had a problem with this, you should have filed a lawsuit before the election. You have no standing. Get away. And everybody on the conservative side says, oh, the courts are bad. The courts are corrupt. No, the courts did exactly what Big Daddy's law, you know, had set up. And I remember Maria Bartiromo talking to Rudy Giuliani, the famous traitor of 9/11. And she said, why didn't you file a lawsuit before the election so your lawsuits would be valid legally? And he was like, oh, I guess we blew it. Oh, you guess you blew it? I mean, how many times did lawyers come to Giuliani and say, hey, we need to file before the election? Huh? I'd like to be a fly on the wall and see that conversation. You're telling me not one lawyer in the Republican sphere of the world made that point? Eh. You want me to believe that? I'll believe the moon's made of green cheese. It's sad how far away from reality we've gotten. But it's not the end of the world. Cat Wooders is trying to raise money to go on a relief effort and do a awareness tour to raise awareness about the plague in Gaza. And when I see pictures of Gaza, I'm just like, how is this not illegal? This looks worse than Berlin in 1945. And you sit there and go, well, you know, the Hamas is terrorists. Hamas is 100 feet below ground in their protected tunnels. They're not on the surface. That's for the civilians. I don't know what to say anymore, other than Trump's gonna save us. Oh, yeah. And it's really sad that, you know, we have this, going back to, oh, boy. Here we go. That's weird. There we are. Nice. So I'm checking out Sean Stone's website. And I tell you, BuzzFeed was a great show. And really, really did some great eye-opening interviews. And he was not afraid to follow truth wherever he went. And that's the attitude that we really have to have. He's got a book out, The Ephemeral Shades of Time. You can get a signed copy for $30. New World Order book. Personalized and signed for $50. Best kept secret is, you know, an amazing series. So, just want to say that, you know, not many people will talk about the Franklin scandal. We'll talk about MK Ultra. You know, the JonBenet Ramsey murder, which is just, the true story there is just, excuse me. I mean, I don't live in the reality of fantasy, but, you know, I talked to Mark Placio and there's just too many people that don't think. And, of course, you know, you go into programmable state brainwashing, and you have your curiosity, and you have your desire to learn totally ripped out of your soul by the powers that should not be. But, you know, David Icke and Mark Passio were talking the other day on X, and it just, the battle is in the mind. It's in what you're broadcasting frequency and information-wise with those 44 million bits of information that emanate from you every second. So even if you don't publicly come out and start an internet radio show or a website talking about different aspects of the attack on the human race, you know, you can do the shadow work in your own heart and mind and remove the brainwashing in your subconscious and change the frequency and quality of your information going into the morphogenic field. And you don't have to be a public figure, but one person that really cleans up those 44 million bits of information going into the morphogenic field, shared by all of humanity every second, that's going to change the reality of consciousness and the reality of the physical space in the world. We individually, each of us, contribute to what's going on right now. We need to be solution-based. I mean, knowing about all the criminality, I think it's important. But there's a whole nother side of the coin. You know, activism like Kat Waters does, you know, trying to raise awareness about, hey, you have to raise the children. Who is raising the children? It's an abusive system. We're just passing down from generation to generation slavery and abuse. Well, we can put an end to it because we dug this hole collectively, and we can end this collectively. The lost word of Freemasonry. No. Just say no. That we didn't see too many people saying no during the COVID-19 scamdemic. But we really did get to see the true colors of the government and big business. Their agenda was shoved in our faces pretty well. Well, my first 16 gigabyte flash drive will be just all health things, chemtrails, GMO, fluoride, vaccines. There's a lot of articles, some interviews, some YouTubes. As many PDF books as I can get a hold of that explain various aspects of the medical industrial complex. You know, since the Rockefellers, like 100 years ago, well, 100 years ago, John D. Rockefeller had completely taken over medicine in America. And we went from naturopaths and homeopathic medicine, which had been practiced for tens of thousands of years, to allopathic. And, only drugs can make you better. But isn't it funny? None of the drugs actually cure you. They only treat some of the symptoms. But, hey, it's a good business model. We'll have you taking pills until you die. And giving Big Daddy the profit. There could be another way. Holistic healing. I mean, when you look at the people who have healed themselves doing Joe Dispenza's meditation, it's like, say what? I mean, people who had, like this one story, this woman had a bone disease that was super rare. Super rare. Her bones were so soft, literally she could roll over in bed and break a bone. I mean, just a life of unbelievable torture. And I'm serious. She starts doing Joe Dispenza's meditations because we have 95% of our natural genome, our natural DNA, is dormant. Now, the reason for that could be, as my mother said, there's a suppression frequency that it comes from Saturn, then it goes to the moon, and then they beam it down to Earth. But if you look at the rings of Saturn, and there's a book, which is now out of print, called The Ringmakers of Saturn, those rings around Saturn would make a fantastic antenna. Especially if you're trying to pull in powerful frequencies from super long distance. So my mother would tell me that they're beaming a suppression frequency onto the Earth, and that's one of the things keeping the human race down. And we have 95% of our genome in a state of dormant. It's still there, but it's not being accessed properly. Well, one of the things about Joe Dispenza's meditation is when you get into the 0.1 hertz coherent brainwave pattern through meditating properly, you get into kind of like sitting at the true God's feet. You're in the zone. You're connected subconsciously to all that is, all that ever will be. And you can ask for help. And you can get help. And when you get into that 0.1 coherent brainwave pattern, it activates healing in your body. And then all of a sudden, those DNA that are shut off or dormant activate and produce what your body needs to cure incurable diseases, to right the physical body ship. And in 18 months, this woman with this rare bone disease that the doctor said, there's absolutely nothing that can be done for you, cured herself completely. And there have been cases where people came to a Joe Dispenza event in a wheelchair, like this one guy with Lou Gehrig's disease, and had such a profound meditation that, you know, he didn't leave in a wheelchair. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we're talking about hysterical, hysterical healing like at a holy roller event. Although, you know, the placebo and nocebo effect. You know, read what Joe Dispenza and Dr. Bruce Lipton have to say about that. It's incredible, the power of the placebo, the power of the mind to heal. And there's plenty of Bruce Lipton and Joe Dispenza videos about, you get your head in the right place, you get out of the subconscious negative slave programming that was given to you in the programmable state by a culture run by mass murdering warmonger pedophiles, and you get closer to the true Godhead of freedom and love. Yeah, all bets are off. Although it may hurt your medical stocks. You know, if people actually knew that they could do most of the healing they need for themselves. Enjoying some coffee. Should I go and take a look at what's going on in the Insy world? Let's see. I always like to go to Zero Hedge. You know, this is something David Icke and Mark Passio talked about Friday. To sit and all you ever do is talk about Big Daddy and his wars and his pedophilia and blah, 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 blah. I mean, you're just an advertiser for Big Daddy. You're pushing this inevitability of, you know, we're going to lose. What the human race really needs is to get back to opening up their heart and mind to truth. To get back to the old ways of thinking. That we're all just one big happy family. You ever notice that everything they do, and George Carlin talked about this, everything that you see on the news or that's in academia or coming out of government, it's always on what divides us. Always what makes us different. It's just promoting racism, promoting misogyny, promoting division of any type. Because the last thing the powers that should not be want is for us to come together in love and actually work together to make life better, to heal the planet. Nah, you don't want that. But I like the fact that, you know, they've gotten so greedy, so filled with hubris, the oligarchs in America and in the West, that they're shoving their corruption down the throats of the people and oppressing them in ways that we never even thought that it could happen. I mean, who would have believed that they would mandate an untested gene therapy shot? I mean, we're talking about an obvious violation of the Nuremberg Code. Yet that's exactly what they did. And America is being destroyed by, you know, the program is, as Laura Logan said, when she's talking about the obvious terror strike of bringing down the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's like, oh, it was an accident? Who are you kidding? The importance of that bridge was vast. It was like one of the top five infrastructure pieces on the East Coast of the United States. And for some reason, the federal government and the state of Maryland never thought about putting in protective concrete pylons. They've got them on the bridges in the Delaware River outside of Philadelphia, the Walt Whitman, Betsy Ross, Commodore Barry, Ben Franklin. They've got protective pylons that if one of these huge cargo ships loses power or goes off course, that bridge pier is protected. They thought ahead. The size of the container ships now compared to when the Francis Scott Key Bridge was built in 1977. I mean, what are we talking about? Three times the size? Maybe. I mean, it's been a revolution in shipping in the last 50 years. These ships are huge. Their tonnage is astronomical. And yet no one, for all the trillions of dollars that we spent in the last 23 years since 9/11, thought to fortify and protect the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Now, we paid trillions of dollars, and what did we get? We got this T-shirt. I mean, who are you kidding? It's as ludicrous as no one filing a lawsuit against the unconstitutional election voting procedure before the 2020 election. I mean, in two places on video, you have Joe Biden before the election stating unequivocally that he and Barack Obama have put together the biggest voter fraud machine in history. I mean, he says it twice on video. Now, I've seen the video probably four or five times. And now I'm wondering, why doesn't the alternative conservative media broadcast that every day? Like, here it is. This is what he did. And as an Illuminati from Arden, Delaware, Joe Biden, as all Illuminati have to do, before they do something, they have to tell you. They have to broadcast it to you so that when you don't say no, the lost word of Freemasonry, you become acquiescent. You go, oh, I don't care. Go ahead, Daddy. Beat me some more. Yeah. Well, Daddy will beat you some more. You know, as Thomas Jefferson said, how much tyranny will the people put up with? As much as they're willing to put up with. I'm paraphrasing, but now, basically, it ain't going to stop until you say no. So if you're looking for a savior, you better look at that person in the mirror. Because that's who's putting this all together. I mean, that's why I tell people, you know, you got to watch What the Bleep Do We Know. That film that came out, like, what, 2006, 2007? It talks about the collective consciousness. Talks about that we're in a virtual reality, consensus reality. We're in 52 waveforms of almost infinite density, almost infinite energy, a sea of energy. When the physicists look at reality, They don't see mountains. They don't see buildings. They don't see a planet. They see 52 different waveforms of energy and frequency. And then we, with our DNA and our wonderful body, you know, we decode this. And because we're all knit together subconsciously in this matrix, you know, we have a shared reality. But it's real. I mean, you take a hammer and you say, oh, no, this is all Maya. Well, hit yourself in the head with a hammer. You know, it's real enough to knock you out. So cleaning up the 44 million bits of information you broadcast, that's your number one job. If you go into the public and start talking about solution think and start teaching people how to live and, hey, stop eating poison. You know, aspartame is poison. It becomes wood alcohol as it is metabolized. So anybody that drinks diet soda, I mean, let alone what it does to trigger diabetes, which is huge, because it's fooling the body and causing the body to produce insulin when it doesn't have to, and then you get insulin burnout, and yeah, all of a sudden you need to go to Big Daddy and get insulin shots. And son of a gun, you'll be doing that for the rest of your life. What a good business plan, huh? But, you know, we're all sitting here right now saying, well, it would appear, since the powers that should not be have stated a million times that they want to get rid of 95% of the human race, that, you know, World War III is inevitable. And basically, you know, they're going to go into their underground cities and bunkers and nuke the entire planet. Now, my mother told me we had 5 to 7 worldwide civilizations that rose and fell. And she said the Demiurge, the god of this world, likes to build civilizations up and then smack them down. Back to the Stone Age. Back to pointy stick world, as I jokingly refer to it, to Mark Passio, where we live in caves and run around with pointy sticks. And, you know, we're at the end of the Age of Pisces, and they figure, it's smackdown time again. Because with honest doctors, honest politicians, honest scientists, people who critically think, people that know the trivium, I mean, they're figuring out through, you know, analysis of the programmable state and how the human psyche is made and how it operates. 95% of your beliefs and actions come out of your subconscious. And you got that subconscious from your society. Your subconscious, which runs 95% of your life, you didn't program that. Society programmed that. And what is society? Well, it's a hellhole run by a bunch of corrupt, bloodthirsty, warmongering pedophiles. Well, I don't want their programming. But there's EFT, there's meditation, there's book reading, you know, reading books that actually will change your programming, because you'll have knowledge that they don't want you to know, and then you apply that knowledge in your life, and it becomes wisdom? Shocking. But really, it all comes down to saying no. I mean, the headline on Zero Hedge is, World War III is now inevitable. Here's why it can't be avoided. Well, I don't believe that it cannot be avoided. I think more and more people are realizing what the game is. That the Western pedophile oligarchs are going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And now Japan is, because they have a low birth rate, they've decided to embark on an era of mass foreign immigration. Yeah, I could vomit right now, but since I really didn't have too much to eat today, I can't do it. But, I mean, when you have a corrupt central bank, Rothschild, Vatican Bank system, you know, I'm sure they went to Japan and said, hey, we'll nuke you economically unless you open your doors up to mass immigration. You think, oh, they wouldn't do that? Sure they would. Ah, here comes stagflation again. we're back to the late 70s. Yeah, that 50-year cycle. Yep. Arabica bean prices see the largest weekly jump in nearly 3 years. There was a heat wave in Vietnam. That's what caused it. It's not corporate greed. Nah. Really? Mexico breaks diplomatic ties with Ecuador after a police raid the Ecuadorian embassy in Kyoto. By order of President of Ecuador, Daniel Noboa, the Ecuadorian army stormed the Mexican embassy and arrested former socialist vice president of Ecuador. Well, you know, if the Israelis can bomb the Iranian embassy in Damascus, we're just moving into a new phase that there really isn't any international law. You can bomb embassies. You can storm them. You know, more lawlessness for a world going to hell in a handbag, right? Sad. Here's a Clown World headline of the day. The allegation is false. CIA denies meddling in Hunter Biden IRS DOJ investigations. Without confirming or denying the existence of any associations or communications. I mean, we had 50 former intelligence people before the election in 2020 to say that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. But the CIA hasn't been meddling in Hunter Biden case. Nah. I mean, they held on to the laptop, Hunter Biden's hard drives and stuff, and did nothing for like 2 years. I mean, there's so many crimes and pay to play between Hunter and his father in the laptop emails. It's not even funny. But, you know, it's Trump who needs to be put in jail. Ukrainian men paying disabled women to marry them to avoid the front lines. Loophole in martial law allows them to flee the country. That's a good story. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, this whole Ukrainian-Russian war. I mean, what they thought more than anything when Victoria Nuland and the neocons came up with this harebrained scheme of bringing Russia down. I mean, their idea of Russia was, Russia is a gas station pretending to be a nation. I mean, pretending to be a country. That was actually a quote by Joe Biden in 1999. Russia is a gas station pretending to be a country. How'd that work out? Not too good. Fannie Willis, the prosecutor in Atlanta, is now accused of illegally recording a lawyer. Given till Monday to recuse. Well, we'll be back in 5 minutes and we'll have Sean Stone on.
It's no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why the story behind the story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
No, I got you in this studio.
Okay, great. Give me 1 second.
I'll take you
1 minute.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. the best program on the radio for kids, dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And we're back. This is Matrix Warrior on Revolution.Radio. It's Saturday, April 5th, 2024, and I just want to thank everyone for helping Revolution Radio keep its servers running and keeping the truth and freedom of speech on the internet. You're becoming a member for about $5 a month, or simply giving a occasional donation to our website keeps truth alive, and I thank you very much. My guest in the second hour here is Sean Stone, and Sean has a great website, seanstone.info, and you can order the books he has written, like The New World Order, and The Ephemeral Stage of Time. And I'll let Sean talk about some of his work. And he interviewed me for his wonderful series, The Best Kept Secret. And it was a great interview. It's pinned on my Twitter page, my X page, in my profile. And I just want to say that, you know, I was talking a little bit about you earlier in the show, and I just said you didn't have to stand up and do the right thing, but you did. And if each one of us said no to fear and yes to humanity, we wouldn't be in this position.
That's right. Well, you know, from your lips to God's ears, it's not easy doing the right thing. I've seen it my whole life. There are times that even people that I think have been heroic and done the right thing, even they show where their limitations are, right? We all have to choose our battles. And so it would be nice to live in a world where we didn't have to fight to get at the truth, or to stand on our own two feet and stand in our truth. I think that, you know, we've obviously shifted in many ways, Jay, over the course of our lifetimes. You know, you've been around longer than I have, but I remember, you know, the 90s into the early 2000s, was a lot of dark, you know, it was a fun culture. It was kind of like felt like a bit of a laissez-faire, but there was a little bit of a darkness that was there, that was hidden, right? And I think it got amplified all the way through the 2000s, the terror, the 9/11 attacks, the war on terror. And it kind of, to me, it sort of issued a apotheosis with 2012, and, you know, the fear around the end of the world. And then from that point forward, actually, there's been an awakening. And we are in a place where more and more people are seeing the corruption of the system. They're talking more openly about it, right? Even when cancel culture kicked in hard and the late 2010s into the early 2020s, there was, you know, it's like now there's people are waking up to it. They're seeing that, you know, the darkness. And so it makes it easier in many ways, I think, to stand out there and to speak our truth and to share, you know, the things that we've learned and we know. It's easier now than it's ever been. So hopefully it just gets easier and easier so that we can see what's going on and make the right choices as a result.
Well, you know, David Icke, Michael Tesserion, Mark Passio, myself, we have been saying, well, it's great to know what Big Daddy is doing, but we have an individual responsibility to our own consciousness. Mm-hmm. And we have to go back to source and become human again, because mm-hmm. we've been programmed solipsistically in the programmable state to go along, to get along, and to acquiesce to evil. And we need to change that and say, no, I don't want to cooperate with evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes work. That takes effort, because to be self-empowered, you actually have to do some study. You have to make an effort to change your subconscious programming.
That's right. And
I just want to say that I love the fact that you're one of the people out there that you're just not wallowing in the sewage of Big Daddy, saying, look at what Big Daddy's doing. Yeah. You're actually solution think oriented.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. So, you know, again, like towards your point, it's all frequency, right? And like life is energy. And, there are those that have been out here that have been talking about, you know, the different realities, but life isn't only negative, right? And I think there has been, to a certain extent, those that profit from the fear. And my mentality has always been, we need to look at the dark to alchemize it, to bring it to the light, right? We don't have to look at the dark and then become the dark, sink to that level, right? Allow ourselves to basically to descend into that darkness and to become overwhelmed by it, because that's certainly one aspect that any of us can go through, right? When you're looking at dark experiences or trying to understand things in the darkness, it can become overwhelming. It can suck you down into it. And my mentality is very much, well, let's look at it to bring light to it, to try to alchemize it, to shift consciousness and awareness so that we're no longer afraid of it, right? Just like in any horror film, if you're afraid of looking at the dark, right, that's where the monster's going to linger. As soon as you see the monster, well, now it's the moment of truth, right? You're no longer afraid of what's out there.
We had a Mark Passio did with David Icke a discussion on Twitter X on Friday. And if you have physicists from like What the Bleep Do We Know or Nassim Haramein, there's a lot of people like Tom McDonald, Douglas Hoffman, who's on Tom Ballou, both of them, Tom McDonald and Douglas Hoffman, talking about we're in a matrix. We're in a collective consciousness reality. Yeah. And our subconsciouses worldwide, all of us, are knit together, and we broadcast to one another 44 million bits of information every second. And that's what forms our worldwide reality. And we need to go into the subconscious, reclaim our power, reclaim our humanity, reclaim our divine connection, and stop going along to get along. Stop living in fear. Hey, you're in eternal consciousness, a individualized piece of the Godhead. You're not going anywhere. you're not going anywhere. The Earth could disappear tomorrow. You're still going to be here because you are divine.
That's right.
And
you're a divine.
Once you break through the brainwashing and realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm a spiritual being in a meat suit, having an experience as a human being.
Yeah.
You know, all bets are off. The fear is gone.
Because
you realize, well, I really don't want to be crucified like Jesus Christ, but I'm also not going to disavow the beautiful, wonderful thing that the creator of the universe did by creating individualized free will consciousness.
Absolutely.
And once you get that lesson, well, all bets are off.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Everything you're saying is true. And we all have to go through that transformation of, you know, it's almost it's recognizing that we're not flesh, right? We're just pure energy. And then you start to get to play with it and work with that energy. And you start to become more attuned to the realization that your reality is a personal reality that that is designed for your soul's evolution and consciousness, right? And whatever it is you're afraid or, you know, you don't want to experience, well, the universe is going to give it to you. It's going to make you experience it, right? Because that's the way to actually grow us. And so I think that the key to me is, and it's hard for a lot of people to understand this, but it's letting go of this idea of bad and good. And it's getting to a higher understanding that it's merely transformational, right? The negative is there to teach us, to make us stronger, right? There's no hero without overcoming a villain and overcoming himself or herself along the way. Right? The lesser self, the ego. So it's all like this one, it's all this journey of one made, you know, that the one that emanates and to create all this contrast and duality, but ultimately it is still oneness.
And I really, really have to say that Tom McDonald and Douglas Hoffman, I mean, their interviews on Tom Ballou, I've been watching them. I have one of Douglas Hoffman's books, and I'm trying to wrap my head around the viewpoint of the Matrix, you know, from a physicist's standpoint. And it's not easy. I'm not a trained scientist, but I know that if I expose myself to it and I just keep at it, eventually I'm going to grok it. And, you know, I want people to understand that irregardless of whether Trump saves us or not, we will go on.
That's the point. Trump's not going to save us. That's one of the mythologies, right? One of the mythologies that has been pushed out there. And actually, it's very interesting. So the messianic concept, right? The Messiah in the ancient world was a kingship. It wasn't really about the Son of God or anything like that. Well, actually, it was, because, as you know, in the old world, like in the Roman Empire and the Greek, like, they thought their kings were from God, right? And it was actually like Alexander the Great. You know, his mother said, well, you know, I slept with Zeus, and Zeus came to me and gave me Alexander, right? He's the son of a god. The Romans, same principle. So a lot of this concept around, you know, the Messiah is really just divine kingship, right? So the interesting thing with Trump was when he came into office in 2017, in the early 2017, that Easter, I think, can't remember if it was Easter or Passover, I think it was Easter, the movie Kong, Skull Island, came out. And I noted that for people. I said, Kong is actually Trump, because Trump is the beast man, right? He's, and by the way, apes, as we know, they want us to believe that we're monkeys, and we're obviously, but we are close, you know, genetically, we are pretty close to monkeys. So it's like there is this symbolism of the beast man. And they made Kong to the Christ figure in that movie, if you looked at the symbolism. Skull Island is what? Where does Christ get crucified? In Golgotha, which is the skull, right?
Yeah, it's the mind.
And, yeah, and the actual, all the poster imagery was all of this rising sun, Kong against the rising sun, and it was really interesting symbolically. I was like, wow, they're creating a Messiah concept around Trump at the level of consciousness. Not they, it's us collectively. It's a collective consciousness, right? And so Trump, and then, by the way, how do I know it was the Messiah figure? Because at the end of the movie, when we think Kong is dead and he basically rises again, and there's three helicopters that appear. They're the three wise men that go to see Christ when he's born, you see? Just like the three ships from Columbus, which is also a Christed notion, right? Arriving. It's always these symbols over and over in consciousness. So Trump is not the savior. It's that he's playing a role, a messianic role, right, for America. And so what they, you know, they took him down in 2020. It was interesting because Godzilla versus Kong came out in 2020. And what did Godzilla show you? Godzilla was reptilian forces of the earth, right? The reptilians. And they defeat Kong in that movie. And then Kong, you know, resurrects. But that was the whole point of 2020. So 2024, another Kong versus Godzilla movie has just come out. You know, I'm not clear what it's going to predict. I'm not clear on that. But my point is that Trump's not going to save us. He is a messianic figure for America because he's there as a king in a role of kingship. But he is in many ways a beast man because he's a very flawed man, right? He's not a perfect. He's not a Christ. But he's here to basically, as the beast man, to help bring America back, right? So there is something to that, because as he goes, it's like the where we go one, where we go all. It's activating us. That's what I always emphasize to people. It's not about Trump. It's about what he's activating in us. Until he came and said to the media, "You're fake news." People were so, you know, they couldn't say that the same way. People felt it. We all knew it. But finally, a president said, "You know what? You're fake news." Wow, he just opened up new pathways. It's like neural pathways, right? He's opening up new ways of seeing, new ways of thinking about it. Hey, this is a deep state. Yeah, there's a deep state. Yeah, you know what? The president just said that. Wow, that's empowering for people, right? The media is attacking the president. Well, shoot, you know, thank you. We should have always attacked the presidents. These presidents were puppets. But now, you know, they made it their whole game of attacking Trump. Now we realize, wait a minute, your media, you've been kowtowing to all these other presidents. You're part of the deep state. Oh, now I see. So everything that Trump's doing, every attack on Trump, everything that he's doing, it's helping us collectively as Americans and also globally to wake up.
Well, I mean, if you look at what the World Economic Forum is doing, I mean, there is a man on Thursday night. He has a show, Reality Extraction, with Mr. Rowe, and he'll play tapes of speeches given at Davos. And whether it's Yuval Noah Harari or some other talking head from Beelzebub, I mean, these people are right out in the open saying It's worldwide tyranny time.
Right.
I mean, it's
right in your face.
Transhumanist totalitarianism. Digital currency hell. That's what they want.
Yes. 100%.
You will own nothing and you will be happy.
Yes.
Well, you're going to be happy because you're going to be dead.
Well, no, they need some level of humans, but there is a transhuman agenda, as we know, right? To roboticize, to basically, because look, I mean, it's really interesting. Actually, someone sent me a ChatGPT with my avatar. And I was actually impressed. I was impressed because this, you know, these AI systems, you know, these artificial systems, they're doing constant collection of data, right? Constant now. And we are giving them our data through our interface, because we're interfacing mostly through our phones, right? We're mostly through our computers. We're mostly interfacing with each other, you see, not in flesh and blood as much. To a certain extent we do, but we are interfacing with people across the world, right? We're putting our thoughts into social media platforms or into emails, right? Or into texts. So that's all data that's gonna feed into the AI matrix. Who ultimately codes it, right? Who ultimately codes the instructions? What ultimate, you know, where we go with this AI? I think it's a tool that can obviously, as we know the negative side, we know the dangers of the AI, but I also see very much a positive possibility for the AI, for us to get smarter, to actually to learn. You know, when we can synthesize, we're in a place of consciousness where we're trying to synthesize so much data. I mean, come on, our ancestors, you know, up until about 100 years ago, they weren't really interfacing with people around the world on a daily, let alone on a daily basis, hardly if ever in their lifetime, right? They didn't travel more than 30 miles from home or 100 miles from home. We're in a world now where you're constantly interfacing all over the world. You have data coming in far beyond any of us can synthesize and compute. And so we need these tools. And it's really just a question of having a human impulse, having a human instinct to run and to interface with, you know, each other for the benefit of humanity. Or do we allow these psychopaths, as you talk about, like this elite class that, you know, self-appointed elites, right, who really think they are, you know, almost, you know, demigods, and they look down at the rest of humanity and they think that they know better. And this is an old concept, you know. The communists and the imperialists have always had that, you know, the racists, all these have always had that feeling. I'm above these people. I can make a decision for them. But collectively as humans, no, I think that we have the manpower. We have the potential to overthrow that entire system and use the technology for the best interest of humans. And which begins with ourselves, right? Knowing that we have to govern ourselves. We cannot surrender our power and our government to someone else to tell us what is best for us.
Well, it's interesting. Zero Hedge is talking about the inevitability of the nuclear war. And I'm just reminded of all the instances where the quote-unquote other dimensional or extraterrestrials shut down nuclear facilities.
Yeah.
And said, oh, you think you're hot shit? Watch this. And
I believe
and I'm just saying that Dr. Joseph P. Farrell, who's written some excellent books on the Nazi International, amongst other things, latest work on the Giza Death Star, that the Giza Pyramid was actually a weapon system.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's incredible stuff. And when you get into Zechariah Sitchin and when you get into Jordan Maxwell, you pull the curtain back and you realize, hey, wait a minute. There's eternal, knowable, objective truth that is the foundation of reality. Everything else is opinion. And the longitudinal waves that are formed by having a nuclear explosion disrupt the universe. And I do not think that the other dimensionals or extraterrestrials will let us have this nuclear war, because it's going to disrupt. Because everything is connected in the universe, whether we like it or not, it's all connected. And they're just not going to have that. They're not going to allow it.
You're of the same mindset that I am. I mean, I talk to people all the time about this. I even predicted last year something. A lot of people, I think it was last year, Jesus, you know, time has become so irrelevant. I heard someone say, I heard your program said 2024. I said, 2024 sounds like really far out in the future. Oh yeah, we're in 2024. Really? Right? Time is kind of, we're beyond time in some ways in terms of consciousness. The Saturnian rulers want time, right? So they can keep us in this, oh, you know, your bill is due. Oh, you got to go to work. Oh, you know, you're a slave, right? They want us enslaved by time. As we become more free, we let go of those conceptions of time and we become more present to the nowness. What you're describing as far as the inability for us to have total nuclear war, I truly believe, and as I was telling people this about a year or so ago, when they were telling me they were very afraid of a nuclear conflict, and I said it won't happen, because as you say, there's a, and this has been shown by many witnesses now, and a testimony of all of these different whatever you want to call them, UFOs or beings that have been spotted, or especially around nuclear facilities and nuclear weapons facilities and things like this, right? There's an oversight that they don't want to see the game, because this is a game. It's part of our evolution. This realm has many reasons. The three-dimensional realm has many reasons for its existence. But one of it partly is a game. And it's also not a game just of a ha-ha game, but like an actual game of like gamification of learning, right? This is almost like a very advanced school system that's been designed. And no
one
wants
to see spiritual kindergarten.
Right? I don't know if it's kindergarten or second grade. I mean, it's like, the point is no one wants to see us destroy the school and then make it in such a way, you know, that it affects, as you say, other dimensions. I mean, that's why I believe a lot of the UFO activity picked up post 45, because it was like, oh wow, you guys have figured out nuclear power, great, guess what? We gotta really make sure it's almost time to reveal the higher realms to you, let's say, as existed, I think, in the old times. I believe it existed, you know, let's say the biblical stories have truth in understanding there was a higher realms of beings interacting with humans, and then that's Atlantean as well, right? Atlantis fell probably because of technologies that were harnessed that allowed for the destruction of that civilization. And I do not believe that we are on the cusp of repeating that mistake.
I get the feeling, my mother said that there were 5 to 7 worldwide civilizations that rose and fell before this one. And then you go back and you look at Göbekli Tepe, and you realize that, you know, there's just way too much evidence of civilizations that came before us. And when you look at, like, Monument Valley, I didn't know this, but there's a whole series of huge cut sandstone blocks. They're massive, Sean. And it's like, okay, somebody did that, but how many millions of years ago did that happen? I have no idea. And the powers that should not be say, well, it must be natural. I mean, all I have to say is do a YouTube search for Monument Valley cubes.
I was just in Sedona, and I interviewed this lady, Devara Thunderbeat. I interviewed her on my program on BU.TV is where I did interviews. I interviewed her a while ago, but I was just in Sedona and met with her, and she was showing me. So her, what she believes, you know, she's channeled and intuitively believe, you know, has been guided to, and she's written the book about this, and she, you know, you can see it in the book. It's really fascinating. The a lot of the faces in the rocks in Sedona are basically the same imagery as in ancient Egypt of various, you know, gods, so-called gods like Horus and Nut and Osiris, right, and others. And the thesis is that those so-called Egyptian gods were actually Atlantean. And this is something that I interviewed one of the famous Egyptologists years ago about this, and I can't remember, I'm blanking on his name, but he was talking about how the Egyptian texts actually indicate that their gods were over 30,000 years old. It wasn't like, you know, these were Isis and Horus were just a couple thousand years old. And as we know, the pyramids weren't built, you know, whatever, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. The idea was that their civilization goes back 30,000 years, which is, as you were talking about, before the great deluges and floods, which means that it would go back to Atlantis. And that would be interesting in this, so far as Atlantis was where? It was probably in the West, the Americas, right? Perhaps around, perhaps even those pyramids of Mexico and Central America, maybe those were relics from Atlantis. And Sedona would have been part of the Atlantean Empire. And the idea is that those Egyptian so-called, you know, gods or higher powers were giants. And essentially they were enshrined in stone in Sedona. And then when that's, because that civilization fell, the remnants, let's say, and the Atlanteans, the Atlantean remnants went to Egypt, right? And that's kind of what I think Plato talks about that, but a lot of mythology talks about that, the idea that basically the Egyptians were just the descendants of the Atlanteans. They were the ones that survived and were basically moved to Egypt to continue as best they could that fallen civilization.
Well, that's what they say. They say they're a legacy civilization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they freely admit that they are not the ones from, what was it, Zektepi or something, the original ones?
Zektepi is the first time.
Yeah.
Right? That's the first time. That's not when they, yeah, exactly. That was before, that preceded.
And there's stories about why is 75% of the Grand Canyon off limits. And you hear about the stories of the, you know, Egyptian Atlantean caves in the Grand Canyon. And, mm-hmm. You know,
that's right. I've heard that. It's
like, I mean, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. That's why we have two parties, because we have to play tag team.
Yes. And that's why we are, well, that's exactly it, the two parties. But even that's, again, that's what Trump is here for. He's disrupting the two-party system, right? He's helping us snap out of this hypnosis, this spell that, as we know, some of us have been awakened from for some time. But he's helping to make it mainstream and having it as more of a mainstream collective experience than he's not helping. I mean, he's an expression of the mainstream awakening, let's call it the collective awakening.
Yeah, because if he was a real leader, we'd all be in trouble. I mean, he's not an intellectual. He still drinks Diet Coke. I mean, he scares me.
He scares you?
Yeah. I mean, he's surrounded by people that swear they love him, but they won't tell him that he's killing himself by drinking Diet Coke with aspartame. How much love do you really have for the man?
Well, you know, my mentality when it comes to that kind of thing is you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And sometimes if you try, it could kill him. So sometimes you got to leave them, right? Let them do what they're doing. But that's,
well, I mean, I look at people like Vivek Ramaswamy,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he says all the right things, but you know, his stock in his medical company was pumped up by BlackRock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he sold like $8 million of it. So it's like, is he a, you know, double agent?
You know, again,
I'd like to ask difficult. These questions because I'm just built that way now.
You know, the way I see it is like we're so outside of these inner circles, let's say. And you know, it's very difficult to actually know anyone, right? Let alone yourself. We work on knowing ourselves. And yet, you know, we try to know people close to us. And then, you know, even them, they can surprise us. And then let alone people that we don't really know or just maybe meet once or twice or whatever. So when it comes to this, again, I just look at it as these are all expressions of consciousness. Consciousness wants to experience this. Consciousness wants to manifest this. There's always a reason why. And I'm just looking at all this as a good thing because, you know, the people ultimately, everyone is going to have to deal with, the revelation at some level, right? So you can only fool people so long. But the fact that they're having these conversations in a public way, that's already the victory, you see? Because until Trump came, you know, there was no public discourse about the corruption.
As I've said, Sean, many times, the toothpaste is out of the tube and you can't put it back.
No.
I mean, whatever is supposed to happen. I remember, what was her name? She was a actress. She used to hang out in Sedona. She wrote a book, Out on a Limb.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember her name. But anyway, she's in a hot tub in Ecuador, Peru, with a supposed ET. And he said to her, everybody in the entire universe is hanging around here because they're waiting for this to happen. I mean,
love it.
There's going to be a shift that is just like Shirley MacLaine.
MacLaine. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And that was like 20 years ago. That.
Yeah.
Yes. Shirley MacLaine. Yeah. That's Cat Waters, my housemate. One of my housemates. I mean, we're actually on the cusp of, I don't know what at this time, because we really, you know, we have such potential right now for good and evil. I mean, it could go either way, and it's like, you know, you have people like Graham Hancock and Randall Carlson on Joe Rogan talking about the Younger Dryas cataclysm.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, it's just 100 million people are looking at things that the mainstream media and academia want to keep from people's memory because we are a people, the human race is under Stockholm syndrome and in a state of amnesia. We're still in shock from what happened 12,000 years ago.
That's right.
And what I like to say is, after the Younger Dryas cataclysm happened, the remnants of the dark occult took over the world and turned us into the mushroom people. They kept us in the dark and fed us BS. And,
right.
But, you know, Trump and, you know, just the fact that on Skype, I can talk to people across the world for free. And what has happened since the internet, you know, they thought they would build the worldwide wiretap, WWW. Yeah. But well, what they didn't understand is the victims of the situation and this unfair society would speak amongst themselves and say, hey, what are you seeing? Well, I'm seeing this. What are you seeing? And then everybody got together and realized, hey, this is a ripoff.
That's right.
And now
The
toothpaste is out of the tube. And also, people like Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, talking about consciousness, you know, Greg Braden, really, really telling people to examine how they think and feel and understand how it's a collective consciousness reality and their subconscious programming is causing this reality. And they need to step up to the plate and become responsible for the 44 million bits of information that they broadcast into the morphogenic field every second. And, you know, you've got to say no to what Big Daddy is telling you and say yes to what Sean Stone and other people are telling you. Go back home. Go back. Materialism doesn't make it. It doesn't work. Spirituality, you know, the type of spirituality that you espouse, that David Icke espouses, where it's based on principles that cannot be broken.
That's right.
And once you start living a life based on principles that are objective, natural law, you're free. You won, you know. I'm just saying, you know. Once you that's why Jesus Christ is called the Rock, because those principles of eternal truth do not budge for anyone. You cannot water them down. You either do it or you don't do it. There's no try. There's only yes or no.
That's right.
So, talk about some of the things you're doing now. Like, I really want to know a little bit about some of the things I see on your website right now.
Talk to me about what you're seeing.
Well, you know, the ephemeral shades of time. What's up with that?
The Ephemeral Shades of Time is a poetry collection that I put out. I was writing poetry since I was in high school, and I just felt like it was time to share some of those. That was during 2020, actually during the lockdowns, that I tapped into basically the more poetic strains. I put that book out. That's a poetry book. I also put out a collection of spoken word poetry set to music. Very beautiful, called Alien Spirit. People can get it on iTunes and Spotify and all those places where they listen to music. So Alien Spirit is basically the poetry, spoken poetry of the Ephemeral Shades of Time book. And then I also put out Desiderata, which is in audible form on Amazon. And that's very much about, speaking of consciousness, as a journey in consciousness through the realm, right? This is like, it's about basically how much desire leads us through this exploration of the physical realm. And the story is a quest. It's like it's basically the fall of two lovers and how a sorcerer basically separates them and seduces the woman through these different incarnation. So the man is basically searching for the woman, right? The divine, it's like the divine masculine seeking the divine feminine, you could say, through the different experiences in physicality. And it's a very beautiful lyrical fairy tale, you could call it, almost a cosmic fairy tale is what I call it. So that was a lot of my poetic side came out during 2020, as I said, during the lockdowns and not being able to do much productively in that sense. I wanted to tap into the poetry. And then after that, we did the Best Kept Secret series, which, as you know, you're a part of, really focusing on how the dark manipulates human consciousness, because we are these amazing sources of energy, of love, of connection, right? We are these batteries, right? That channels we channel energy and consciousness from other dimensions. And so the dark side wants to control everything they can. And that starts with the human being at the level of the mind control, at the level of the physical control and debt slavery, physical slavery, you name it. Energetically, they want to control us, and they want to ultimately recreate us. That's an aspect.
Yeah, they're really scared of us.
Well, they are scared for good reason. Right?
Seriously, though, the corrupt Illuminati, you know, secret society people, they are terrified that, you know, with the internet, people are talking about things that they did not want them to talk about. They did not want this information out about meditation, about subconscious programming, and the cat's out of the bag. They're in trouble. Big time.
Yeah. And again, that's why I keep going back to the fact that I'm not really concerned, because what you're talking about, the toothpaste, it's like, I just look, when you become conscious of something, you can try to go back to sleep. You can temporarily go back to sleep, but eventually it's like, you cannot unknow something, right? You cannot forget something. All you can do once you realize it is to work with that realization, right? It's like if you find out someone is cheating on you, or someone's hurting you, right, in a way that's maybe you weren't aware of. Well, you're not going to change that past situation. You're going to change basically your relationship to your own revelation, right? You're going to start to communicate in a different way. You're going to start to recognize, wait a minute, how am I co-creating this experience, right? What am I letting into my life? How am I treating the person that, you know, may have cheated on me? Like, all these different things, right, are interesting experiences of their challenges, because it's like, there is, going back to like, there is not like a fundamental wrongness. The universe is designed in such a way that's perfect. We need the challenge. We need the things that are perverse, disgusting, horrible, hateful, all these things that we think are so wrong, because it's about us learning out what to do with that. How do you change the circumstance, right? How do you change the circumstance? By claiming more power, by claiming more awareness, right? By then working with your awareness to then alter the experience, to alter the situation. So this is a journey of self-empowerment, ultimately. And that self-empowerment starts with becoming more aware, right? More insightful, more in tune. And it's not just as simple as saying, hey, go kill the bad guy. That's the old modality, right? That's the old religion, right? In the old days, the woman cheated, stone her. That comes from the Old Testament, right? Now it's like, no, we're refining consciousness. And we're ever refining it to say, okay, what do we do with this new awareness? How do we shift our experience, right? By becoming more attuned to create an outcome that we prefer for ourselves. And then if we can do it for one, we can do it for many. We can do it for all, ultimately.
Well, I'm really happy that you've made a choice to use your life to tell people that consciousness is fundamental. And that's what Douglas Hoffman talks about. That's what Tom McDonald talks about. Consciousness is fundamental in the matrix. Until you reclaim your consciousness, reclaim your divine, individuated, free will consciousness, and make a decision to study natural law, to study real objective truth. Because the dark side says there's only opinions, there's no set truth. But nature shows us that there is that truth. There is a concrete, shall I say, the law of creator. And it's all around us if we could but perceive. And I'm just saying that more and more people, I really have a hard time believing that they're going to let Trump back in the White House.
Oh, I don't believe it for a second.
But if it happens, it happens.
I don't think they will for a second. But I am also going to say that I don't believe. Did I lose you there?
No, I'm here.
I was just saying that I don't think. See, well, here's my perspective on it. The Biden administration is overseeing the United States Corporation. The corporation is the defunct, bankrupt entity that they're actually. They're just blowing the lid off. They're actually collapsing it intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
The Republic is, I think, where Trump is currently still at least if it, at least if not not symbolically, I have to say at least symbolically, if not actually, in charge of the Republic. And there's two different entities that are currently in place, but the corporation will not let Trump back in. The corporation has to be blown out. So I think we're going to, that's kind of what the civil war is really about, that that people have been talking about, that is being felt and all this. It's like there's two different iterations of government. There's a republic and there's a so-called democracy, but it's really just it's like a technocracy, really. Right?
Well, it's an oligarchy or a kleptocracy by the oligarchs.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm a fan of Catherine Austin Fitz. And some of the things that she has found out, like the trillions and trillions of dollars that have been stolen, Professor Mark Skidmore. I mean, when you're talking about numbers like $21 trillion being stolen, that can do a lot of positive things. So, you know, it would take maybe $4 trillion to rebuild the infrastructure completely in the U.S. And yet, you know, Jeff Bezos has a $500 million yacht.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay with everybody. I'm saying if I had $50 billion like Bill Gates, I really don't think I'd be coming up with vaccines and GMO mosquitoes.
Well, that's for sure. It's because you want to fucking cause the chaos.
Well, the thing is that, you know, what happens with Trump, I really think one way or another, it's going to be the fuse and the plunger is going to hit the dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like they've already crossed the line legally so many ways with these lawsuits against Trump.
But it's symbolic. Again, it's symbolic, as I was saying. It's like they want we have to understand that the system is a rigged game, right? And that's what Trump's been saying, and that's what a lot of people have experienced. Right? But now, it's like, now we're getting to it. This is not. The law, this is not the legal system. This is not common law. This is not natural law. This is not equitable law, right? We are in a complete corporate system, right? Corporate rules, basically, right? And the money, that means money talks. Whoever can buy the corporation influences it, right? That's the corporate rule. The corporate rules, whoever has the majority share dictates the rules. So this is not the republic, you see? And that's what's at stake here, getting back to our principles in our Constitution, right, in our Bill of Rights. All of this that was limited government, limited federal government, limited powers given to the federal government, and limitations on, you name it, you know, printing of money. They completely they overrode the Constitution when they started printing money. The Constitution says gold and silver. They started printing money en masse. they created a Federal Reserve Bank that they borrowed from. I mean, all
George
this.
Maxwell is probably the only person I know that actively in his lectures talks about the incorporation of the United States in 1868 and the Banking Act of 1871, where basically the banker oligarchs from Europe took over America.
I know, but not just then. I mean, well, who knows when it really starts? I mean, this is all so old. But again, my point being that we got to get back to the republic, because our Constitution, our founding fathers gave us some really great documents there with the Declaration, the founding, you know, the principles in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And if, as long as we can get back to those principles and assert the notion of sovereignty, which is really at the heart of it, right? Because all the rights not given to the federal government are reserved to the people. That's it. We are endowed by God with our rights. Government doesn't give us our rights, doesn't tell us what we can and can't do. Unless we're harming other people, our Constitution is really based in natural law.
Yeah, it's the saying that what's going to happen this year, I mean, astrologically, they say that, you know, Trump is, you know, going stratospheric. I mean, they say nothing but good things are going to happen with him. And I'm like, you know, I look at the young people right now and the fact that they know that college ripped them off, that they're never going to get a house, that, you know, all of a sudden they realize, all of them, whether you're black, white, it doesn't matter. Everyone in the younger generation sees that this World Economic Forum stuff is for real. You will own nothing and you will be happy. And that's guess right. what? They're not buying it.
Exactly. That's for sure.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. Someday they'll have Jeff Bezos's yacht in a museum somewhere.
Yeah.
To show the excesses of the oligarchs.
I agree. So I just want to make sure, are we wrapping up at on the hour? Or
Yeah, we're going to end in a couple of minutes. So give me some leads on where we can find your work, Sean.
Absolutely. I mean, the best place is seanstone.info. That's, I really believe, the best place to find everything on me.
And, you know, what have you been working on, you know, recently? I mean, just,
something that I mean, I can't really talk about what we're up to because it's not ready yet, but, I mean, people can definitely find me at Sean Stone. They can reach out to me if they want to, you know, join me on Patreon for my guided meditations and even like one-on-one. They want to have one-on-one chats or sessions or things like that.
Although all right.
It probably makes more sense to ask that.
Well, at a time. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.